All right, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. So, there's a guy called Guy McPherson. Now, I know I should know who the hell that is, but yeah, sorry. I forgot. I got him confused with the Les Unite guy, who was the human extinctionist. So apparently this guy, Les Unite, thinks he's the like radically excessive, you could argue. He's one of these people who thinks we're going to go extinct because of climate change, that somehow the climate's going to change so quickly that all the humans are going to go all crazy, cut each other's heads off, nuke each other, blow up all the nuclear power plants, you know, I don't know. You could go on and on and on, and it's still not going to change much in, you know, some island in the Pacific. You know, so no matter are the Eskimos or, you know, those people living way up in that cold place eating reindeer and shit. Anyway, there's going to be places where, yeah, humans aren't going to go extinct. But whatever. I mean, I wish it were so, frankly, but it just ain't going to happen. A lot of humans are going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of bad news for a lot of people. Going to have a hard time coming. Okay, well, you know, those predictions aren't all that unreasonable. The financial crisis, all that kind of stuff. All kinds of messes can be made, but exterminating humans? Come on. You know, come on. You got to do that kind of stuff on purpose. You're not getting rid of these rats that easy. Okay? You got to make a hard poison to get rid of all of them. But anyway, so he's made this some kind of stupid video when bullseye is the wrong target. When the bullseye is the wrong target. And it's all this babble. He starts off with his, well, he tried to be a savanna scientist, and they didn't like what he said. And then he came up with some theory about how aerosol, the weird thing, so he calls it the aerosol masking effect, and they give it a little acronym. And, you know, the argument is that, okay, because we took the Freon and all the other kind of crap we were putting, you know, the hairspray, all the crap we were putting up in the atmosphere that was making a big giant hole in the ozone layer, that actually causes, you know, the fact that we're, that stuff was a fight against global warming because it actually cooled the atmosphere because, well, I don't know exactly, because it puts heavy molecules very high, and so they reflect some sunlight, but they also, you know, fuck up the ozone layer. So, you know, you get too much ultraviolet light. But anyway, the net effect is that by correcting our bad aerosol behavior, we're contributing to global warming because the aerosols were actually causing some cooling. But I would argue it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, whether it happens in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, it doesn't change the overall fact that the real difference between now and 1 million years ago or 500 million years ago is that we've put a bunch of stored carbon that cooled the Earth. We took the carbon out of the biosphere, out of the part that's moving, and we put it in the ground. Okay, we didn't do it. Okay, you know, nature did it by inefficiently killing things. So a bunch of stuff died that it was full of carbon, and it didn't liberate all of its bits, didn't decompose all the way, and the decomposition products got pushed underground. And so it pushed the carbon underground. And so, yes, it was warmer, you know, 6 degrees centigrade or whatever, warmer when the dinosaurs were roaming around. And the fact is it got steadily cooler because as they were roaming around, they were stomping in the mud and pushing, you know, all of the carbon into the ground. And that's the oil and the coal and the gas. So, and we're releasing all that shit. Okay, so like half the oil, all that black stuff, released back into the active environment. Some tiny portion of 10% of the coal and whatever, 10% of the methane. But as the Earth gets warmer, the oil isn't going to come flying out, and the coal isn't going to come flying out, but the methane is. And, you know, it only lasts for 100 years, but, you know. Yeah. It's going to be a rough 100 years. So yeah, it's going to get warmer. So again, yes, it's going to disrupt things. It's going to make a mess. Okay, a lot of people's houses are going to be underwater, all that kind of crap. A lot of displacements. There's going to be people pitching tents in other people's yards and all that kind of shit. It's going to be unpleasant. It's not going to kill everybody. But anyway, so I guess in the past this guy had some utility because he was a doom talker. But I really can't find any current stuff that he's saying that's at all relevant to anybody rational. I mean, I can't. It's so convoluted mush. It doesn't even have any direction. So what he wants everybody to do is acknowledge that we're doomed and we're going to go extinct. And we should just arrange, you know, our hospice. We should just arrange for our graceful acceptance of the doom. While we panic, because he also thinks we should invest in putting mirrors everywhere and doing all kinds of stuff to stop it from happening. So you're like, what the fuck are you talking? Either you're talking about accepting that, oh yeah, well, I guess this is just the price you pay for having way too many people on Earth. Because he doesn't even seem, that doesn't seem to be his major agenda, saying put a cork in it, you know, quit having babies. I don't even see that in anything I've played or anything I've read. I don't see stop having babies. And so it's quite bizarre, frankly. So anyway, the point is I'm going to make this video because he says this little crap in here, I think, pretty directly pointed at me. And it's such a stupid lie. And you're just saying, well, you're supposed to be a university professor. You're supposed to take your job kind of serious as an environmental scientist. And you can't get basic facts right? Come on. What credibility do you have? But these are really silly people. So he's married to some silly woman with a bunch of, you know, hairy fairies, silly ideas. You know, poofter woofter, we're all one, you know, whatever. She's one of those, you know, floating consciousness people or something. you know, she's probably got little, whatever they are, wind something or others. You know, those Native American wind thingies. you know, with the spider web, dream catchers, yeah, you know, she's probably one of those kind of people. And they have seminars, you know, they invite six or seven of their little wackier friends, listeners, you know, to go to their house. So they can all talk about, I'm so angsty about the doom. Oh. Yeah, sorry, this is so fucking trivial and silly. But anyway, all right, so let's play some of this. And it is crap. I mean, I can't follow what the hell is he talking about? It goes from one subject to another, and it's all in metaphors, poetry, analogy. So he just quotes a bunch of, it's good enough for government work. Whatever. You know, a bunch of this George Carlin quotes, and this is what, you know, I'm supposed to know what any of the, how the hell is that relevant to anything? Because I can't see it. All right, so this goes up. That went dead. I gotta turn the volume down a little. That should be good enough, I think.
Impression, good enough for government work.
Probably could go a little bit louder for me. What mush. So I have no idea what this, it's an incomprehensible video. You can't tell what the fuck is he talking about. How hard it is to get published, how hard it is to get other people to respect what you're saying. But okay, I can go along with that. But then you sit there and do something that's just, pigeonholing and strawmanning. So, you know, that's not a fair argument technique.
What most people fail to realize is that when this expression was coined, government work represented the highest standard.
I don't think it ever represented the highest standard, so that's a little bit silly, too. You know, so always a buddy-buddy network, you know. Even old Europe, you know, it was all the elitists who would hire their own, you know, people, their own kind of people to run things.
Good enough for government work was something to strive for, and people often failed to achieve this high standard.
Yeah, I think people still strive for it because you want the easiest way to become a millionaire, go right to the post office. I mean, you know, go get a government job. I mean, if I was giving a kid advice nowadays, yeah, get it, be a cop. You'll get like 6 pensions, you know, because you only have to work 10 years and then you just get some flunky job and some administrator thingy. Do that for 3 years, another pension, do something else for a couple of years, get another pension. And yeah, you'll be a millionaire. So you want to be a millionaire, become a government employee. Don't do any work and get way overpaid. It's perfect.
You might be familiar with the George Carlin skit from 2007.
George Carlin was cranky, no doubt about it.
During his final HBO special, stand-up comic Carlin said, quote, "Every child wins, everybody gets a trophy."
Yeah, well, anybody could tell that joke. I mean, that joke's been around forever, right? Arguing on the internet, you know, and they have show a retard crossing the finish line. You know, there's lots of, So, I mean, but who hasn't noticed that there's a lot of people being praised for, you know, being barely functional? Oh, you didn't shit in my lawn today. So, yeah, trophy. You know, being even, you know, a tiny bit civil. You know.
End quote. Reflecting and commenting on the attitudes of society 15 years ago, Carlin concluded that society had gone off the rails in congratulating children for the simplest of accomplishments.
And he also pointed out how you're all pieces of scum and there's just not much about you that's worth anything. Like, what the fuck? Why would you want to save the human race? I'm sure he made some kind of joke about sending people into space. You know, to do what? You know. To do what? Watch porn? On a smaller TV screen?
And never pointing out when a child failed. The idea that individuals must never fail brings to mind the rise of the effulism movement.
Okay, that humans should never fail. This has something to do with effulism. What? You know, I don't. So, and then later he'll talk about how, well, yeah, it's good to have high expectations. It's good to keep pushing yourself. You know, endeavor to persevere. You know, endeavor to win. No point in endeavoring to lose. You know, so yeah, if you're going to try to win. Trying to lose would be stupid.
Movement, Effil, E-F-I-L, is life spelled backwards. And the people promoting this idea would like to destroy all life on Earth.
Right, well, that's one way to put it. We like to prevent harm. And the easiest way to prevent harm is to don't make something that can be harmed. So if I don't like the sound of glass breaking, then maybe I shouldn't make glasses. And then I won't have to worry about hearing them break. If I don't want to hear a baby crying, well, then don't make the baby. And, you know, it's that kind of logic. But yes, if you want to characterize it as destroy, as if that's the ambition, when prevention is the ambition. So we don't want to kill anything. We don't want to destroy anything except fertility. So you could say they want to destroy fertility on planet Earth. Yeah, that's what we want to do. That would be, in our opinion, a completely benign way to, prevent untold amounts of pointless and stupid and moronic and ignorant torture. But if you want to just say, destroy life, okay. You know, it's your prerogative. I'll just characterize you as, you know, nerdy women's clothes wearer. Yeah.
Not merely human life, but all life. As a result, this...
Yes, of course. All life, because life is the stuff that doesn't feel doesn't matter. So, yeah, you can step on that all you want, because it's like stepping on a mousetrap. It's, you know, it's not going to be hurt. It's not going to be tortured. And the sentient life is what you're after. And it doesn't serve a purpose. It just creates the opportunity to break the glass. No point in making something that doesn't serve a function. It's like, why would I make I could put some sort of juice in a syringe, right? So I put stuff in that doesn't do anything. If it's not curing a disease or it's not doing anything productive, why would I put any energy into putting it in the syringe? Because it's just unusable. And especially if what I was putting in the syringe was the welfare of feeling creatures. If that's what I'm shoving in the syringe, that's what I'm paying, the price I'm paying for it. Why would I pay a price to do something useless? It's only logic.
Idiots cheer for the suicide of others while often...
Okay, so why would somebody say that? These idiots cheer for the suicide of others. Where did this happen? So in my whole existence as an ethicist, right, as the inventor of the word, I don't recall anybody cheering. I mean, you know, unless it was like Adolf Hitler or something, but I can't remember anybody cheering about any suicides. I can't even remember anybody even using, you know, a few people have blown their brains out now in the modern age, you know, right on TV. And I can't even remember them using those images to say, ha ha, isn't it great, humans are dead. There's nothing. And then me, personally, I've gotten, you know, kind of some heat. Because although I'm quite sympathetic and I think people have every right to a graceful, dignified death at their own choosing of when, I do make statements encouraging people to hang around as long as they can to oppose people like you, fucktard. Nobody could argue that I put guns in people's hands. I try to do exactly the opposite. And try to get them to point the gun at the evil, like you. So it's just a false, fake, phony news. So you're just another example of the hyper-liberal who's just exactly guilty of all the cliches. You don't give a fuck about the truth or the facts. You just want to advocate for your silly delusions. And anything that's in your way, you will slander.
To make no such sacrifices themselves.
So, and again, it's a sacrifice? No. It's an indulgence. But regardless, what does suicide have to do with the subject? It has nothing to do with the subject of preventing life. And that's the whole point, is to prevent it. My point isn't to create environmental disaster and kill people. Okay, my point is create environmental disaster and there's nobody to kill. Yeah, that's my plan. My plan is to take the victim off of your gurney, okay, so you can't do your little experiment, your little evolution experiment.
One of the anonymous leaders of the movement.
So I don't know what an anonymous leader would be exactly. I mean, you know, beyond... the same anonymous that everybody else has on the internet, in the sense they have a screen name, and yes, they have a real name, but, you know, the idea is most of us don't want crackpots showing up at our house, okay? So the only anonymity people expect is to try to keep this not personal, you know, to try to be able to live their life without somebody burning a cross in their front yard. You don't understand that, retard? Ugh, amazing.
And for the YouTube channel, I will not divulge because it disgusts me.
Okay, he won't divulge the channel. So he'll make these accusations, these defamatory statements, these lies about what the person has advocated. Okay, and he won't man up enough to appropriately identify who he's making the accusations against. Okay, well, I'm directly accusing you, Guy McPherson, of being a lying scumbag. Okay, you're a fucking liar. I've never made a suicide celebration or suicide mocking or suicide suggesting video. You're a fucking liar.
Has been encouraging others to commit suicide for more.
Okay, so it's a fucking lie. It's exactly the opposite, and everybody knows it, because, again, there are some people who have sort of ragged on me because I don't spend enough time, defending the victims in the sense of their right to get the fuck out of here. You know, and I do say, well, just pause for a minute, and, you know, unless you're really desperate, you know, wait. Okay, hang around, because we need your vote, so to speak.
More than a decade.
So again, it's just a lie, okay? So I'm the only one been talking about this for more than a decade. And frankly, so this is just fucking bullshit. that this asshole would make these accusations he can't back up with any fucking goddamn evidence.
Version of leadership does not extend to his own death, of course.
Okay, and what fuck, who gives a fuck? I'm not, unlike you, I'm not looking for celebrity or being a cult leader. So where's this leadership bullshit? This doesn't have any, there's no leader, follower, there's no preacher, congregation bullshit. I'm making arguments. People either understand arguments or they don't understand arguments. They either say, hey, that's a good argument, I'll use it. So yeah, I'll give them free ammunition, okay, in the war against your propaganda. Clearly, all you have is lies and distortions. You can't tell the truth. I mean, you made two statements here that are just fucking lies. I have never mocked suicide nor suicide, and nor have I ever suggested to somebody to commit suicide. You're just a fucking liar. I certainly think people have a right to die when they choose to, when they think it's the right time, not when you decide it's the right time, not when you decide how much pain they should endure. You piece of shit.
He has deemed himself far too important for that.
Some more bullshit. So where's the evidence of this accusation? Where, first off, where I've deemed myself important, where I'm living some kind of the good life. No, every day is a stinking, goddamn, irritating, obnoxious, burdensome, vomit-worthy experience, because I have to every day face having arguments with lying little toady scum like you with these moronic philosophies where you think you're so much better than all the other mammalian life on this planet. You think your brain is especially special because it can calculate numbers and it can put words together, and therefore it must feel so much more. You're such a piece of shit. You have no evidence for that. You have some sort of college degree in biology, and you're this fucking stupid. You think vocabulary makes you capable of feeling? God, how stupid are you?
The idea of ephelism, again, the desire for the extinction of all life on Earth.
Yes, the desire to prevent pointless torture, to redundantly, pointlessly torture organisms over and over and over again. I do not want to open my eyes on this scummy human planet ever again. And I don't want to open them as a chimpanzee, and I don't want to open them as a squirrel, and I don't want to open them as a turtle. I don't want to open them as a fish. I do not wish to open my eyes and say, oh, I'm here again. Fuck. And I have to play some dumbass game. The evolution. I have to dance the evolution. Fuck it. Yeah, whatever, there's that video, Evolution, Def Jam or something. Yeah, go watch it. Evolution sucks.
That's promoted by Childly Cowards.
All right, Childly Cowards, whatever that means. So this stuff, these little quotes are just, you're just saying, oh man, this guy's so full of shit. Okay, the fear of death follows from a fear of life. Well, you should be goddamn afraid of cancer and death. Why the fuck wouldn't I be afraid? I've seen all the pictures of the celebrities, you know, when, you know, they weigh 85 pounds and look like shit, you know. I've seen slow death. It doesn't look like much fun, retard. And so I think only rational people are afraid. Retards are not afraid. Okay. A man who lives fully, whatever that means, is prepared to die at any time. So isn't there a huge ironic statement there? So a person who really is enjoying themselves and making the most out of their life and really getting somewhere and really doing stuff doesn't care if they die tomorrow. So it's like the Apple guy, I guess he was perfectly satisfied with dying tomorrow. Oh no, that's right, he spent trillions of dollars to try to save himself. Yo, so go show me these rich people, or these satisfied people, or these fun people, or these happy people who just say, okay, I got cancer, so what? I'm going to die. You're pathetic. I mean, what a stupid fucking quote. Show me one of these people. Show me. Why don't you just show me this person is fully prepared to die at any time? Show me.
Quote from writer and philosopher Edward Abbey, the desert anarchist. Quote.
So some kind of desert anarchist? I think he's eaten too much sand.
The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time, end quote. I would suggest...
No, it's just so stupid. You know, in all the old, you know, medieval wars and stuff, these guys weren't guys who were saying, hey, my life is great, okay? Let's go to another war. No, these were guys who were saying, my life fucking sucks, and I'm going to play the lottery. I'm either going to win a better life by killing those other guys and taking their stuff, or I'm going to die. And that's when they were satisfied with the deal. But they weren't satisfied with the deal if you're just saying, hey, it's a good day to die for no cause. Yeah, no gain, just pain. Yeah, who accepts that and says, okay, fine. No gain, just pain. Yeah, nobody, but a retard.
Yes, the idea extends to women, too.
You're the guy with the gun.
Commercials on videos that have, you know, 1,000 views. It's just, you know, what the fuck? I got 14 cents. Okay, so he says, I'll finish with...
A few lines from Professor Viktor E. Frankl's 1946 book, Man's Search for Meaning, which I have been rereading. Specifically,
So it's not really a finish, right? It's half the video. Okay. And I don't even know if we should go into this, but it's right, this is just going to be... This is, you know, more dangerous Holocaust, you know, stuff. And... you know, and so you could just ask the questions, you know. Well, what do you mean? This is what you learn from the process that, oh, it's all silver lining. Well, then you're insane, frankly. If you can watch your whole family die horribly and then come out with some kind of, hey, well, that was a learning experience, you're a fucking retard.
We'll rely upon the 1992 English version. Rather than quoting Frankl in this video, I will instead rely upon part of the preface as written by Harvard University professor of psychology, Gordon W. Allport.
So he's not going to quote the guy he's quoting because I guess the quotes aren't good enough. So he's going to quote the guy talking about the guy he was going to quote, but he's not quoting. Shit.
I'm going to extract from the preface, again, by Gordon Allport.
Right, so we're going to extract from the book the preface, which isn't the book, it's just a story about the... So we're going to tell a story about the story, and then he's going to extract from the story about the story. It would never even occur to me to do something like this.
In this book, Dr. Frankl explains the experience which led to his discovery of logotherapy. As a long time...
Logotherapy. We all should know what that means. La, 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 la. It's probably some love shit. I mean, you know, he has this thing to his life mate or wife. Or I don't know what the fuck she is. But she's called like some Pauline something love crud. What's this love shit? Oh, God, it's such a scientific term.
Prisoner in bestial concentration camps, he found himself stripped to naked existence. His father, mother, brother, and his wife died in camps or were sent to the gas ovens.
So they died in the camps or they were sent to the gas ovens, but who knows, whatever, however, blah, blah, blah. That's a little bit ambiguous. Okay. And again, so if they, you know, I'm sorry. Why would they feed him for 3 years if he was just oven fodder? If the intent was to just catch him on fire eventually, why did they fucking waste time, you know, reducing how flammable he was? You know, why wouldn't they just throw the log on the fire?
That, excepting for his sister, his entire family perished in these camps. How could he, every possession lost, every value destroyed, suffering from hunger, cold, and brutality, hourly expecting extermination, how could he find life worth preserving?
I'm sure he found his life worth preserving. It's our nature to run away from being dead. That's the whole reason why being dead would be sad and tragic. The whole reason why he's upset and has something to overcome is because if dying was great, then, gee, he wouldn't have anything to worry about, would he? What's the logic here? I mean, there's no logic. Yes, we struggle, okay, with the fact that no matter what, we don't want to be pushed into the meat grinder. Even if we know, I don't care if I'm ground beef. I mean, I really don't give a shit. But I'm not going to go through the grinding process. I'm not going to jump in.
A psychiatrist who personally has faced such a...
I mean, being afraid of dying and being afraid of death are two different subjects. It's two different conceptual ideas. I'm not afraid to be a billion years not existing. That is, before I was born, I didn't exist for billions of years, and I was perfectly satisfied with that circumstance, as far as I know, anyway. I don't have any memory of it being a terrible experience, so I don't have any fear of going back to being asleep for billions of years again.
Extremity is a psychiatrist worth listening to. He, if anyone, should be able to view our human condition wisely and with compassion.
No. Who can view it? Okay, so we could have this conversation, and it'll be a 50-50 thing, right? I mean, half the people you ask about a traumatic event, lots of people, again, every year people lose their kids to some tragedy, okay? Or their kid is paralyzed by something stupid like playing football or some kind of bullshit. And how do you live with that shit? And half of them probably say, oh, yeah, well, you overcome and, you know, blah, 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 and it's God's will and blah, blah, some kind of mush. And then the other half are, fuck, I don't live with it, okay? I'm just slowly dying like everybody else, and I'm just doing it sadder than you are. Because, yeah, I can't see past it. I mean, every day I see my kid, every day I see the mess, and the burden is horrible. And I'm sinking in the quicksand. Just really, really slow. But yeah, I'm going to spend the rest of my life just sinking in quicksand. And your solution to this dilemma, this human dilemma, is go ahead. Keep pushing people into quicksand. Keep pushing them into emotional circumstances that decency shouldn't allow us to accept.
Dr. Frankl's words have a profoundly honest ring, for they rest on experiences too deep for deception.
Blah, 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 blah. Sorry. Blah, 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 blah. It's just another person with their own point of view advocating and saying, look, I've earned it. I have scars. Well, again, there's other people I could interview whose scars are going to give them a completely contrary opinion. So if we dug up all the World War II dead, okay, I mean, half of them are going to say, yeah, it was a great cause, and I was great, and I did everything, and blah, 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 and stoic, great, 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 great. And the other half are going to say, fuck you, motherfucking cunts. You wasted my life for this? This is the world you created with it? Was it a bunch of McDonald's and shit? Fuck you.
Reading further on in the preface. From this autobiographical fragment, the reader learns much.
That's his technical difficulties. So he has a green screen and all this other shit, and he can't figure out when the camera's on and off. But whatever.
He learns what a human being does when he suddenly realizes he has nothing to lose except his so ridiculously naked life. Frankl's description of the mixed flow of emotion and apathy.
This is a concession that life at its core doesn't have any substance, and the only thing that keeps you going is momentum, and that's it. And when you lose the momentum, you lose the desire, you recognize the food is really ugly and it stinks, and it's not until the hunger gets back inside of you, you know, that it looks like it could ever make any sense. And that's the way it works. We're just addicts, sick, stupid animals, you know, eking their way through a bunch of body parts, through, you know, hacking, you know, our own kind to pieces and hacking anything else that's in our way to pieces.
It's arresting.
It's cannibalism. It's a cannibalistic planet. It's living, feeling, you know, thinking organism consuming same. It's a circle of lifeboat.
First to the rescue comes a cold, detached curiosity concerning one's fate. Swiftly, too, come strategies to preserve the remnants of one's life. though the chances of surviving are slight.
What part of your life do you preserve in a concentration camp exactly? Tea time? I don't know.
Hunger, humiliation, fear, and deep anger at injustice are rendered tolerable by closely guarded images of beloved persons, by religion, by a grim sense of...
Oh, by religion. Isn't that comforting? That silly delusions are the way through it all. So the scientist says, yes, just pick up any old silly delusion you can find and hold it up and follow the sparkly glitter light. Shit. Shit!
Humor, and even by glimpses of the healing beauties of nature, a tree.
I mean, amazing. The 21 dead cats for every cat that survived to maturity. Oh, that's so healing. Yeah, all the runover cats are healed.
Or a sunset. But these moments
sunsetting. Oh, so that's just more. Yeah, it's just so. Ooh, sunsets. Ooh, I remember when I fucked my first sunset. Wow, it was amazing. It was sunsets. I mean, I never got this thing. You know, this is one of those things where you just. Okay, yeah. It's pretty, blah, blah, blah. 15 seconds. Okay, it's starting to get a little boring. You know. 34 seconds. I've seen these colors already. Let's see. What? This does it for you people? Oh, sunset porn. Oh, yeah. Wow. Just fills me with the... You know. No, it doesn't.
Comfort do not establish the will to live unless they help the prisoner make larger sense out of his apparently senseless suffering.
Oh, whatever. I'm sure that's not what that's not a very good prisoner survival psychology. The psychology is just to get yourself a nice little routine, okay, that keeps you physically together. That's it. Job done. Mitigate against your miseries.
It is here that we encounter the central theme of existentialism. To live is...
So whatever that is, existentialism, la 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 la. Nice big fat word that doesn't... It's just all fat. Existential. Blah, 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 blah. It's the new Jehovah word. There's no existential. There's just this. Okay, biological robot. Newsflash. Robot.
To suffer, to survive, is to find meaning in the suffering.
No, it's just so disgusting. Ooh, find meaning in the cruelty. Yes, the cruelty is so meaningful. It's like a sunset. It's full of red, like blood. Oh, God, these people, these ghouls, they're just, it's like vampires. It's like reading a vampire book, you know, about how yummy, the first bite of the neck, and you can feel the blood surging, and, Ugh, I'm not reading that book.
If there is a purpose in life at all, there must be a purpose in suffering and in dying.
Oh, gee, so that's more circular logic there. If there's a purpose in life at all, well, you're a scientist. You should know, there's no purpose. There's just, a few hundred million years of squiggly things evolving, okay, by a contest where 99.9% of the children are killed. So we're playing a game, kill 99% of the children, that's the game you're playing, and you play it for hundreds of millions of years, and then you call yourself, well, aren't we doing good? Are we winners yet? Oh, fuck.
But no man can tell another what this purpose is.
They can't because they don't have any evidence, and the other person will say, what the fuck are you talking about? The magical sunset purpose. Pretty colors.
Find out.
Yeah, right. You can't tell me that. Okay, if you tell me that, I'm screw you guys. I'm going home. Okay.
For himself, and must accept the responsibility that his answer prescribes. If he succeeds, he will continue to grow in spite of all...
Grow. So it's a growing experience in watching your children die. Yes, it's a growing experience. It's your opportunity to show that you just couldn't give a shit about anything. And it just doesn't matter how bad it gets. You'll just say, fine, as long as somebody fucking else is getting ground up. As long as somebody else is on fire. Oh, I learned how to accept the smell of the stench of their burning flesh. I grew as a person. I grew comfortable with the smell of the burning flesh. You're ghouls.
Dignities. Frankl is fond of quoting Nietzsche. He who has
a lot... Oh, well, so that's a point against him big time, right? So, and again, quoting Nietzsche when? Before he went insane or after he went double insane? Let's just say double insane. Nietzsche, again, the despicable hypocrite, couldn't live the life he was selling. Didn't come anywhere close, frankly. Totally owned by silly little superficial love emotions. I mean, just too silly a character.
I, to live, can bear with almost any how.
Yeah, he couldn't bear that somebody, that his girlfriend loved somebody else. He couldn't even handle that human circumstance. And how did he end up? Yeah, he ended up crying over a dead horse. So this glib monster, in the end, got the truth. But it was too late because he wasn't writing it anymore. So he wrote a bunch of bullshit. And then after the bullshit, reality came home to roost. Hard. I wonder what Nietzsche would say about the whole game. Accepting the last 10 years of his life as a lunatic imbecile.
As a Jewish prisoner of war for 3 years during the Second World War.
Yeah, so what's worse? 10 years slowly dying of syphilis or 3 years in the concentration camp? Which one would you choose?
War in Nazi Germany, Frankl was subjected to horrific conditions. He was imprisoned at Auschwitz, Dachau, and other concentration camps. I have quoted him.
So again, every single person, what's the average? The average death takes something like 2 years. It's like 18 months or something. So every human is going to go to Dachau. We're all heading there, metaphorically. And some people are going to get it a lot worse, because some people just drop dead of heart attacks. Some people get off so easy. This is all just bullshit. How heroic. Everybody has to get over shit. Everybody has burdens and obstacles.
Frequently in this space from his signature book, Man's Search for Meaning. He had 31 other books published, too.
Yeah, well, obviously his search for meaning is meaningless because you can't even figure out that trivial, inane religion stories aren't going to get you anywhere. I mean, that baby talk is, that baby food is so gross. Nobody should be eating it.
Specifically, I have often cited these lines from Man's Search for Meaning. Quote, between a stimulus and a response is a space. In that space is the power to choose our response.
Okay, so it's just baby talk, okay? There's no you're going to choose any other way than you're going to decide. You're going to decide in those few minutes. Your brain's going to mechanically and in a routine manner add 2 + 2 and come up with 4 because it's learned how to respond to the arrangement of the words just like it's learned 2 + 2. And what's going to come out of your mouth is going to be exactly what the program says should come out of your mouth, and you're not going to do any choosing. There's no you to choose. Your brain just makes brain. Your brain just does brain. There's no you making choices inside of your brain. Your brain decides. It doesn't choose. It decides. It logically evaluates and decides. Goes where the logic tells it to go. And often the people's logic is like yours, glib and retarded. Oh, the animals don't mean anything. Well, if the animal brains don't mean anything, why do I think the human brains mean anything? shit, all they can do is do some mathematics and they have some vocabulary. Oh, I should think that makes a difference. That makes you important. You're unimportant if you don't have vocabulary and mathematical skills. But, you know, it's the logic is psycho-killer logic.
Our response lies our growth and our freedom.
Okay, in our response lies our growth and our freedom. Neither one of that we haven't had any of this capacity to do freedom, and you're not going to grow unless you learn something previous to your choice. Okay, so that's you're going to learn from your decision. Your decision will end up creating a result, and then the result will be, oh shit, I chose badly. You know, I decided badly. And that's all there is. There isn't anything else. Oh, this is such mush.
The last of human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any set of circumstances.
Right. And yes, the attitude, we should try to reduce the attitude wherever possible. But we're emotional organisms. I want people to feel their philosophy. I want them to care. I want them to be good soldiers in whatever war they're in. Okay, there's no point in being something if you're not going to be completely something. Well, I shouldn't push it that far, because obviously people do go too far, okay? You know, they impose too high a price for too little profit in the cause. Too much collateral damage, that's it. Good soldier doesn't mean, you know, you step on babies.
End quote. As someone who chose to give up bread to other prisoners as he himself was starving, Frankl was...
Right, blah, blah, blah. That's a story, but okay, fine. There's lots of us who will, you know, help people, you know, if they ask for the shirt off your back, yeah, okay. You know, as long as I'm not, you know, going to get killed. But there's our people who jump in the, you know, look, there's people, you take the chance. You know what I mean? You know, you'll run into the burning building to try to save somebody. Yeah, that's all applaudable. But you don't think there's about a billion of those kind of people on Earth? There's lots of good people in the sense that they... Well, you can't say they're all good, right? Because some of them are seeking to be heroes. You know, so they set the house on fire, you know, just so they could be a hero.
Authority on choosing one's attitude in the most horrific of circumstances. To the extent that any of us has free will, we too can choose.
All right, so what's the point of even talking about it? We have free will, so like I'm free to believe your mush. How am I free? Okay, I see nature as a meat grinder. You, in spite of the fact that 99.9% of the children are killed, you think it's some kind of fiend, fun park. I'm saying, no, the 99 kids goes in, only one comes out. You know, 100 kids goes in, one kid comes out. You're saying perfectly good success, okay? Let's call it Disney World. I'm saying, no, that's the definition of hell. It's not the definition of Disney World.
Our attitude. We can choose to live fully during the midst of a mass extinction event.
Blah, blah, blah. So this, I don't even know what this means. So we're in the midst of a mass extinction event. Let's understand, the stuff that's going extinct is like stuff like coronavirus. Okay, I mean, you know, half the stuff going extinct would be some kind of parasite that's going to eat a hole in your head and eat your brains. So, good, yes, great. We're killing some of the bugs on Earth. Excellent. Let's see how many we can get rid of without noticing. Ugh. You know, this whole idea that the ecological system is in some kind of perfect balance and it's all perfect. Bullshit! I mean, it's always moving and changing. I mean, there's a picture in this background of the moth with the, you know, completely changed its stripes, so to speak. Okay, because of a little environmental change. The whole thing is liquid. You know, and there's absolutely no reason to think the Earth couldn't get along just fine with, you know, a few million species. We don't need a billion. A few million will do.
We can choose to live with love and integrity.
All right, whatever that is. Love and integrity. And being a fucking disgraceful liar. So where's the integrity in your lies that I have ever been a suicide supporter? So go ahead. Explain where I have advocated or suggested or promoted people committing suicide. Show where that rhetoric came out of my mouth. All right? Because all I've done is defend people's rights. Their freedom. You use the word, their freedom, their choice. You use those words. Well, do those words mean anything? Or do you, you're the one who's going to tell somebody when it's time to go, when they've suffered enough. You're going to be the fucking dictator, scumhole. No. So he puts this little whatever suicide hotline in here. You're not alone. Whatever the fuck that means. So that'll solve their problem. You're not alone. Well, yeah, you really are. I'm not going to move in with you. What's the big save? How are you going to save people? Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not going to provide any answers. You're just going to play little psycho babble games to try to distort their perspective enough to endure some more chemo. Get fucked in the ass some more. Go ahead, walk on the streets again and get raped again.
As the living planet disintegrates around us. Yes, we're...
So, again, more bullshit that anything's disintegrating. It's getting eaten, okay? There's lots of things feeding on it, every bit of it. Again, this is just such incomprehensibly stupid commentary. If he thinks the biosphere is a great thing, then what's he worried about? Because it will adapt. No doubt about it.
We're going to die. All of us. Let's not hurry along our deaths.
So, again, more bullshit about hurrying along when... Well, and let's not needlessly drag it out either. Okay, let's not waste those 10 years in the nursing home because they're really not very fucking productive. I've seen it, okay? I've seen them hosing them down, literally, like they were zoo animals.
Let's not cheer as others struggle to find reasons to carry on. Instead...
Sorry. Reasons to carry on. Like I said, it's only for the cause. There's nothing here except the cause, okay? And I would argue that my good cause is to prevent torture, and your bad cause is to perpetuate it. An insanely stupid price for an insanely stupid product. You want to keep the sham going. Keep the shoddy snake oil. Keep feeding the morons the snake oil.
Let us support the pursuit of life.
Whatever that means, right? The pursuit of life. The pursuit of dead kids.
Pursuit of living. Living fully, regardless how many...
Right, regardless how many people have watched get tortured right in front of you. Just have fun. Don't worry. Be happy. Blah, 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 blah.
It's hours or months we have.
The hours and months we have, because the global warming cloud is just... It's just such horseshit. Like global warming is going to make a big giant tornado or something. It's just so stupid.
I've been pointing out lately in response to people constantly asking me how long we have, meaning how long do I have, we each have 3 minutes. And with every breath.
So again, this is more, how does this even mean logically to anybody? How does this joke even make sense? I'm afraid you have only 3 minutes to live. Oh, no, you don't. So what's the point of it? And what's the point of thinking? Obviously, if you think we're doomed, then, yeah, it's really hard to make any, let's do some 10 years from now planning.
We get a reset. Let's appreciate every breath.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, appreciate every breath. Let's respect every victim. And you're paying respect to the victims by saying, I learned nothing from your suffering. You didn't learn anything from World War I or World War II, right? You didn't learn anything. You didn't learn anything from the Civil War. You didn't learn anything from plague. And you didn't learn anything from famines. And you don't learn anything from any of this shit. You think it's all going to be worth somehow, yeah, we could work all this out. We're not intrinsically competitive. When everything about everything that we do and feel and function is entirely based on these the kernel of the competition engine.
Every breath.
Ugh, what mush. Oh, there's some children to kill. Give them cancer. For nothing, right? For no good cause. What the fuck is that? Oh, if I know. I don't know what this is. Interesting that it popped on the screen. But regardless, I'll just pretend I don't see it, whatever it is. It's some artifact of the browser that's still in this window for some fucking reason that I don't know. Yeah, Firefox is doing it somehow. Well, anyway, I'll just get rid of that right now. Yeah, there, that's nice. All right, so that's enough of a video. Should be a video anyway. So, yeah, there's nothing to say, you know, because what's the logic going to be based on? Again, they fundamentally don't see the harm in it, okay? They think life is this profitable experience where, yes, we have to endeavor to persevere, we have to overcome, and we have to, you know, live lives where we just spend, you know, most of the hours of our waking day in some terribly annoying and irritating job. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we're just going to pretend none of that exists and none of this hardship and pain and suffering. And somehow it's all just Olympic gold medal ceremonies. You know, and even those only last a little tiny amount of time, you know, and that's it. And then you have to go back to the gruel. And you want to keep forcing people to do it. When I'm saying, now the default is, you know, unless you're going to give birth to yourself, you really have no right to impose it. You just don't have any rational right to make the decision for somebody else and say, I'm going to make you live. That's bullshit, because life isn't free. It isn't, you can't make any argument that you have certain knowledge that it's worth it. You haven't died. Okay, you haven't spent 3 years fighting your cancer. You haven't done any of this shit. So how do you know it's worth it? Fuck. Damn. You know, it's just too stupid. So, till the next time. I just hate this planet. Hey, alright, so this has been donotgod.com video presentation. And of course, Google is evil, and no one's going to do anything about that either. You know, that's the aerosol up our ass there. But anyway, so enough of video. Till next time. Blah, 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 blah.